you're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Charlotte Kniep. And in the news recently, it seems like there have been so many devastating things happening, such as typhoons or earthquakes, flooding, ice storms, and unfortunately many, many more. And while you may not live in a climate that typically has extreme weather, there are other types of disasters that could occur, such as economic crisis, loss of a job, health problems, or political unrest. And all of these things could deeply affect your life. And in order to survive these types of situations, we really need to be prepared. Now, the Welfare Department of the Church has recently come out with a new guide to help stakes and wards prepare for disasters of all types. And to talk more about this guide, we've invited Jeff Foy and Bruce Muir, who work with the Emergency Response Team, to discuss this with us. And one of our field producers, Jennifer Stagg, has that interview. Listen in.
Thank you for being here.
Very nice to be with you.
Why was a guide for wards and stakes needed at this time?
Let me take that one. In actuality, we have had a guide for wards and stakes for a long time to help them prepare for disasters. The church handbooks call for the leaders to prepare those, and they're asked to prepare a simple written plan. Now, what we have done with this one is just expand on it. And so the guide that was there previously is still there, but we have created some worksheets to help facilitate the discussions, to help ward and stake councils to create emergency plans.
Actually, just the other Sunday, a representative from my ward came in and spoke about emergency preparedness and started talking about how we're going to be talking about this a lot more in our ward. Have there been experiences in your own lives that have prepared you to work here in emergency response?
Well, both Jeff and I have both been bishops, if that helps any. So,
you've seen it all.
We've been involved with councils. Speaking personally, I've lived in the Philippines. I've seen a lot of disasters over there. I've lived in Chile and during the big 2010 8.8 earthquake. So there's been in the middle of some disasters in the past.
And what types of disasters do you think people should be preparing for?
Well, I think they should be preparing for just about anything. One of the things that I think this guide does is it helps people identify likely disasters that might hit in their specific area, but not so much plan for those. Instead, take a look at the disruptions that will be caused by those disasters and plan for those disruptions. Our thinking is that you can plan for an infinite number of disasters by preparing for a finite number of disruptions in reality.
What do you think are some common misconceptions that people have about being adequately prepared for a disaster?
I think people overcomplicate it. It doesn't need to be as tough as many people think. They think that they need to prepare for an earthquake, for a big major blackout that might come from a snowstorm, or for a hurricane or a typhoon, but you don't really have to plan that big. If people think about it, they need to prepare for some of their basic needs, medicines, clothing, food, those types of things. They need to prepare, find a way that they can gather back together with their family, and they need to figure out a way that they can communicate with others, needs that they have, resources that they have, communicate back with family so that they can gather back together again.
You don't necessarily need a 5-gallon bucket of beans or grain, right?
Well, everything helps. Everything certainly helps.
But you can work around it a different way and look at it in a different way.
Right.
More approachable. How can this guide specifically help families if they're going to open up this guide? Is it going to tell them exactly how to get started? What can they expect?
This guide is less for families and more for wards and stakes. So obviously, families can take the principles that are found in this guide, but it's geared more towards those leaders to help them identify some larger scale things that they can do to help support families.
It might be a good thing, Jeff, just to mention. Let's talk about maybe what some of the disruptions might be. Give an example and just talk it through. How a ward council could maybe address this.
Sure. An example, if an earthquake were to hit, a common disruption would be loss of power. But a loss of power would come from a home fire. It would come from a blizzard. It could come from a number of different things. One of the great things that this guide does is, in addition to identifying those disruptions and helping you plan for those, it helps you to put it in a time frame. If power goes out in my home, for example, my response to that would be very different if it happens for just a short period of time, 3 hours to 3 days, as opposed to 3 weeks, as opposed to 3 months.
That's scary to think about.
It is. But I think by thinking about it, it helps, and it creates a lot of peace of mind at home. If power were to go out for 3 days in my home, I'd take advantage of the opportunity. I'd gather my kids together. We'd light a candle. We'd play some games. Mm-hmm. We'd have some fun. If the power were to go out for about 3 weeks, I might start looking at the foods that I have in my freezer and start eating some of those foods so that they don't spoil and I have a lot of loss as a result. If power goes out for 3 months, I've got to take a look at some other things that I might have to keep my house heated or cooled, depending on the season that we're in.
Why do you think emergency preparation is a part of the gospel?
Now, we've been taught for a long time that we should be self-reliant. And that stability, that acting and not being acted upon is, you know, really of the essence. We read in section 38, verse 30, if ye are prepared, you shall not fear. And in all aspects of our life, whether it's a large natural disaster, some kind of a man-made disaster, or if it's just losing a job, or maybe the loss of a breadwinner in a family, they're all disasters. And if we prepare for those types of disasters, then we can still retain that ability to serve and to reach out and help others and not have to be acted upon all the time.
I was talking in another interview about that famous scene that they seem to show on the news every single time there's a natural disaster of some kind, and it's that shot of the grocery store shelves, right? Where the grocery store shelves are empty, everybody's rushing to the store at the same time, or long lines at the gas station because there's an emergency and everyone's trying to fill up. If you could give one piece of advice to people about preparing for a disaster, what would that be?
Well, realize that it can happen to you. One of the big problems is people don't think it will happen to me, and they're in denial when it does happen.
When things are going good, there's no reason to think that anything's going to ever go wrong, right?
When I was in Chile, 8.8 on the Richter scale is a huge earthquake, and the stores were either looted or they were bought out immediately. And if you had just planned for even 3 or 4 days, you would have been just fine. It all came back again within the first week.
Hmm.
Same with fuel, with gasoline. In your planning, if you can say this can happen to me, how do I plan for it? You don't have to worry so much.
Where can people find this guide, and how do they put it to good use?
Couple of ways to get to it. You could go straight to providentliving.org and then look for the emergency response section, and it takes you right to the guide. You could also go into lds.org under families and individuals, employment and welfare, then link to Provident Living and emergency response, and it'll take you there as well.
Is there anything else I didn't ask you that you think is important to point out to our listeners?
One thing that stands out to me is it's not so much the plan that's important, it's the process of planning that is important. There's no way that you can prepare a plan that will be exactly as the disaster shows. And so sometimes people go through the motions and put a plan on paper and then don't use the plan when a disaster hits. The important part is going through that process of planning, whether it be with a ward, with a stake, with councils, with families, so that people understand the components that are put into that plan and they can react according to what the disaster is and adjust according to their needs.
I would just add one thing. A friend and colleague once said that for every disaster, someone is always outside of the yellow tape. And so as wards and stakes, as you consider the leadership, there's always going to be somebody traveling or not available. And so backup plans and making sure that the council is working so that everyone knows what's going on is essential to make these plans work and the members of the church being taken care of.
Well, thank you so much. Very valuable information. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We want to thank Jennifer, Jeff, and Bruce for that wonderful, informative interview. And you can, of course, find out more information on emergency preparation on the Mormon Channel blog and radio series all this month. Now, the quote of the day is from author Louisa May Alcott, who wrote Little Women, among other stories. And she said, "I am not afraid of storms, for I am learning how to sail my ship." Love that. Such a good quote. Well, thank you again for listening in today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.